All right, you're hanging out on the Shape of a Circle podcast with Brian, Cammie, and not Ed for this one.
Yep, a little break from that. Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about having a daily 20 in the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and appreciating that there are a lot of different genres, literary genres, to what make up the scriptures that we got.
Right, yeah. There's five to be exact.
Yep. There are, which is funny because it's not, you're not in the Bible literacy section.
Right.
You gotta know you're in a couple different spots.
Right. There's lots of different authors, lots of different ways that, you know, it was presented. And so there's different ways to read it.
Yeah. And to that effect, it's like the difference between reading Hamlet versus Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Like if you don't know which one you are in, mm-hmm. it's trouble in a hurry.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we want to make sure you're kind of feeling equipped of hey, wherever I'm landing in the scriptures for my reading, that I got a little bit of a nuance on how I'm going to do my daily 20 with Jesus and
mm-hmm.
opening up that scripture to him.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah, you mentioned five.
We mentioned five, yep. So we have story, we have poetry, letters, prophecy, and apocalyptic. That's a hard word. Apocalyptic.
Yeah, it is. That was...
And it's a hard book too.
Indeed it is. Was that four or five?
That was five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm counting poorly today.
It's okay.
Let's talk stories first.
Yeah.
And the section of your scriptures that story in the New Testament, it is Matthew through Acts. Mm-hmm. You got four gospels in there, and then the story of the early church. And then in the Old Testament, it's Genesis through the book of Esther. Those are your two narrative literature sections.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, stories are being told.
Yep. Yeah. And I think these are maybe the easiest ones to read mm-hmm. for most people, right? Because it's just as if you were reading a fiction novel, except it's not fiction. But it is told in that narrative kind of way. And so it's a little bit easier to follow along. I really like to pull out nuggets of God's character in these sections,
okay.
And not just focus on the story of the people, but really look for God in the stories and where mm-hmm. is he present and what is he doing and what does that say about him? One of my favorite little chunks of scripture is, the Israelites in the desert, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot you can pull out of that chunk of scripture. And, one particular part in the last year, I read, you know, Moses is questioning God's calling on his life. And he's like, I'm not equipped for this, God. And, still God persisted to provide all these things for him, including another person to help him out. And so it's like seeing those little chunks of God's character. So in that case, God's provision, it's just really cool.
So for you, it's seeing God at work unfolding in the story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For me, let me start in the Old Testament first. I like identifying with one of the characters.
Ooh, okay.
Like, I'm not going to just drop in and read a chapter of David's life. I want to read David's life start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then mix in some of David's Psalms. I don't want to just read the book of Jeremiah. I want to read Jeremiah and Lamentations. If the guy's got two books, let's put them together.
Okay.
And like that's what I've been doing lately. I've been in Jeremiah mode of mm-hmm. just like trying to get inside this guy's sandals, so to speak, and,
yeah.
and walk around the story with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's even more fun with Jesus.
Yeah.
And in the Gospels. And by the way, that's where we'd suggest any of you start
mm-hmm.
those narrative stories in the lives of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But to really imagine yourself in the text.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're sitting right there with him. You're walking right there with him. Like take a minute to picture the landscape.
Yeah.
The physical landscape. The expressions that must have been on people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just kind of have this silhouette kind of approach to mm-hmm. what was a very dynamic, real story.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like a just words being exchanged. It's a story that's unfolding. And so it's a... Imagine the incidentals around it
mm-hmm.
and yourself right there, you feeling what you would feel, you feeling what the character would feel. For me, that makes a big difference when I do my daily 20s in the stories.
I think that's really good because I think sometimes culturally we we separate ourselves from mm-hmm. the people of the Bible, and it does feel like a story or a fictional thing that happened, because it's some of it is so wild and out there, you know, because it's just different culturally.
Well, you're mining for the nugget, right? Yeah, like, right. What was the moral of the story? Mm-hmm. Like, again, now you're like treating it like a fable or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
This is...
That's good. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Number two.
Number two is poetry. It's actually funny that you said that you like to read all of David's story and then maybe sprinkle in some Psalms. And I actually like to read poetry alongside story. Ooh. I like to do a little bit of both okay. if I'm going to read. Because I like to have kind of what you just described for story. I like to do that with poetry, mm-hmm. right? Because that is the person's thoughts. That's their feelings. That's their prayers. And so oftentimes I will read David's story and then I will read a Psalm with it to see that goes along with the same time
good.
Frame.
That's good.
So that I see the overhead and then I see what are you feeling in the middle of it?
Yeah, I do like that. I like the idea of sprinkling it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Psalms and Proverbs.
Yeah, it's a lot if you read it straight. It's so much.
It's a whole lot. And I think it is almost, the Psalms in particular,
mm-hmm.
like if any of you grew up with a hymnal
mm-hmm.
in the back of the chair in front of you at church, that's what the Psalms are.
Yeah.
No one picks it up and just goes through them all today.
Mm-hmm.
You pick your one, your two, your three.
Yeah.
That's good. Now that's Psalms and Proverbs.
Yeah.
Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, a little different, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think in those particular ones, they're a little harder, right? They're a little harder to read. It's not so pretty and flowery. But I would say particularly Job is the one that stands out to me. It's nice when I have the big picture. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so for that one, it's easier if I use tools like the videos that help to kind of give me an overview or keep that big picture in mind so mm-hmm. I don't get hung up on all the language.
Yeah, those other three do combine for one thought.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Proverbs, let's say you have 20 thoughts in any chapter. Right. You got 20 verses, you got
it's
20
like
different
whiplash.
Thoughts. Yeah, yeah. Like nugget, yeah, little stuff.
Uh-huh.
But those other three, I think you do kind of appreciate the body of it. And again, videos from the Bible Project, which will
fantastic.
Illustrate it for you
mm-hmm.
before you read it. It lets you appreciate the words as you read it. You don't use the video to supplant the reading.
Right.
But that... You get the art form, like imagine a trip to the ballet,
mm-hmm.
right? And you get there and all of a sudden you're like, what the heck? There's no words here. why are they wearing that? And, you know, if someone were to take a moment to explain to you, like, here is what choreography communicates in mm-hmm. a ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And why one would not even use words,
mm-hmm.
but use their body to communicate. Like, you get this art form down. Oh, then when you're watching it, it makes sense. And that's what you're, mm-hmm. I think you're doing with Ecclesiastes, Job, yep. Song of Songs.
Yeah, that's good. Third one is letters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
First of all, we're in the New Testament,
now. Yep.
Romans through Jude.
Mm-hmm. I like to pick one and pick it apart.
Mm.
And I was just telling you this morning, we are working on 1 Corinthians right now. In my Bible study I'm in, but I've done in the last years, James, Ephesians, Philippians, you know, all these different letters. And I just like to like go line by line and just mm-hmm. pick them apart because mm-hmm. it's just full of wisdom. You know, it is mm-hmm. truly these people are writing to, the apostles are writing to these churches and giving so much wisdom and good things to kind of pick apart and challenge you.
Yeah. All within the context of, okay, I want to know something about that church.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the recipient? I want to know something about, you know, what, you know, is this Paul? Is he in jail or not in jail?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that helps. But then
who he's talking to, right? Like, I think that's what you're saying with the church. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the cultural dynamic in that church?
Yes.
Because that helps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what you said about picking it apart. Mm-hmm. I like kind of the expression of leave no stone
mm-hmm.
unturned. Am I using it
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I almost feel like that going through the letters mm-hmm. of as little as word by word to pick it up, mm-hmm. look underneath it, see mm-hmm. if there's any more there,
mm-hmm.
set it back down. Let's go to the next one. Pick it up.
Yep.
It feels like that to me, really, when you go through the letters.
That's good. All right. Are you ready for the next two?
No. I don't remember what we're doing.
Prophecy. Prophecy.
Ah.
Yes.
Like, you got your serious voice yes, out for a second. Prophecy. Okay.
Prophecy and apocalyptic are both really challenging for me.
All right. So first of all, prophetic books are Isaiah through Malachi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Old Testament stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's you're just jumping with really ideas.
Really hard for me. And I think it's because it's all doom and gloom. Like it just, and you know, I've read the Bible chronologically multiple times where I can see the need for a savior mm-hmm. as you get through them. And so, you know, part of me is like, well, clearly you just get to this point where you're like, oh, I can't read another doom and gloom thing.
Yeah, so doom and gloom's there.
Yeah.
The other part that I don't like about it is it's the complete opposite of the story yes. section. You have no context clues.
Right.
You don't always know who's talking, mm-hmm. who's in front of you, nothing in the setting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like listening in on someone's phone conversation.
Right.
Void of all other interactive elements. It's mm-hmm. just words back and forth. Mm-hmm. And the prophetic books are not always good at telling you when someone hung up on that conversation and said right. hello to the next one.
Right.
It's just picture listening to multiple phone conversations, not knowing if the last one was over or the new mm-hmm. one started or who these characters are mm-hmm. or what's going on around them. And you kind of set up to lose.
Yeah.
It's how it feels.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think
it's in the Bible.
And I think oftentimes they're woven with the story, right? And so are they?
I would say not often, I think would be generous.
Sometimes. Okay.
I would use the word sometimes.
So I know when I've read through it's, you know, I jump back and forth then because that's how my Bible reading plan has it. And that's hard too because if you were to read them straight through, yeah, like you said, you don't always know what's happening. Sometimes it's minutes later, sometimes it's days later. Like it's just not, mm-hmm. it's not a easy, yeah.
Now they're going on during the times of Kings and Chronicles and mm-hmm. whatnot. But again, like the trick you did with David and the Psalms.
It doesn't work.
That doesn't work here.
Yeah.
What is neat about the prophets though, and how you can get something out of it is each one of them was known for delivering a particular kind of punch.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're into boxing or ultimate fighting, like, you know, like this guy's got the wicked uppercut.
Mm-hmm.
The other person's known for his right cross or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And to go into knowing here's what this person did best.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little more appreciation from it. And for me, I feel the new freedom to just read fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the letters, I wanted to pick up every stone. This one, I am encouraged to, nope, don't think about it. Keep going, mm-hmm. keep going, keep going. It mm-hmm. actually makes more sense if you keep going mm-hmm. rather than stopping and trying to figure it out.
That's good. I think the thing that I really appreciate about these letters is...
prophecies.
is that I love when then you can see it fulfilled
mm-hmm.
in the New Testament. And then I love just getting to connect those dots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really cool when you can read them straight through and then you can later when you're reading something else, you can catch that little nugget of like, oh, wait, I've read that before. Mm-hmm. And oh, look at there was the promise fulfilled.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Here's what I'm going to add. I like these for what it reveals of God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
I know you said you found that in the stories by watching what God does.
Mm-hmm.
I like these for God putting into words just how much we break his heart sometimes
mm-hmm.
and just how serious he is on a very select few number of things that he would mm-hmm. hope it would catch people's attention
mm-hmm.
and how he's just rounds and rounds of don't do it. I don't want to discipline you. Don't do it. I don't want to discipline you. Don't do it. Like, or other times he flips up the imagery of an unfaithful spouse of, I don't want the divorce. I don't want the divorce. But if you keep going down this road, we will split. And wow, like I don't feel the heaviness, that the heavy stuff of God's heart anywhere else in the scriptures, like I do in the prophetic books. You can get through the doom and gloom.
Maybe that's
and the lack
what I'm. Maybe that's what I'm feeling too. When I describe it as doom and gloom and that need for the Savior, I think it is like a heaviness. I think that's exactly what I feel too. That's good.
So we're pointing out good stuff. It's harder to get there in the prophetic
Absolutely. Last one.
Apocalyptic literature. We're talking Revelations and half the book of Daniel. And praise the Lord, we only got 1.5 books like this. Now, what I want to point out is right there in Revelations chapter 1, it talks about blessed is everyone who reads these prophecies. Like, you got to start with that because you're going to think this is weird sci-fi. Let's throw it out.
Yep.
Right there on page 1, it's like, there is a blessing for everyone who keeps reading from here. So what's that blessing? How we go get it, Cammie?
I have no idea. You're gonna tell that part. But but I'm going to say, I think the thing that has helped me is not getting caught up in the knowing or the understanding of every little piece. Like you said, for prophecy, not really focusing on turning over every stone, but rather the grander picture, the hope of the future, right? And so for me, it's kind of sitting in the wonder and the awe and the mystery of what could happen in the future, what will happen in the future, and not really understanding it and not really knowing for sure, but hoping for whatever it is, you know?
It does spark curiosity, foster hope. I think one of the biggest things is just that the fun of this goes somewhere, this ends somewhere. It's not just this keep becoming a better person or keep helping the world. It's a, it comes to a point where one thing comes to an end and the new thing is birthed fresh all over again. And Jesus wins. Like, I love that part. Probably, you know, not just waiting for the last two chapters to get that, though. What I find in every page is the theology of persecution. We really know better than we act in this regard. We have so much theology built around grace, faith, hope, and love. Not much theology built around, you want to gain your life, you lose it. You hate your mother and father and brother compared to what you have with me. You leave the plow there and come follow me. And you sure as heck don't believe that any servant is greater than their master. You follow the guy who got killed and crucified.
Right.
You plan on the world treating you the same way. And we all act like something's going wrong on the day pushback or any form of persecution comes. We get defensive. We stand up for rights because we're Americans. There's nothing about rights in the scripture, by the way. That's an American thing, not a Jesus thing. And the temptation is when something goes wrong in my life, when I'm getting pushback, I must be doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Because if I was right, God would pave the way.
Yeah.
And this would get easier. And it's those moments where we're probably getting it right and needed to keep going because we didn't think we were going to get persecuted. The book of Revelation is a lengthy anticipation of everyone's going to be persecuted.
Yeah, that's good.
And you got to be faithful to the end.
You said something recently in one of your messages, and I don't know what it was, but you talked about the grit that we as Christians need to have to to make it through that persecution. Mm-hmm. And I think that it just hit me in just a way, because I had never thought about it that way, that God is like developing this grit in us, right? Mm-hmm. This like toughness. And I think that's true. Like, I think that we do as Christians, we like to, well, my life is going well, then God must be blessing me. You know, like, it's just, I don't know, this rose-colored glasses thing that we have going on with how we view it. So that's really good. I like it.